This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
This is Paul Daner Jr. and Mo Egger in studio talking all things Bengals and general NFL topics on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
All right. Here we go. Good afternoon. My name's Mo Egger, and you're listening to ESPN 1530. Thanks so much for doing so. We're glad you're here. We are loaded today. We have in studio with us for the hour our friend, Paul Daner Jr., who just celebrated his 40th birthday.
That's a fact.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it's good to be old.
He covers the Bengals for The Athletic, which involves not just what he writes, but what he says. The Bengals podcast is Hear That Podcast Growling. Paul Daner and Jay Morrison. And, of course, you can read his work as well at theathletic.com. Or just do even better than that. Get the app, subscribe, and you're good to go. I'm not even sure where to start.
I don't know. Where do you start?
I don't know where to start. I don't know if an hour is going to be enough. I don't. Where would you like to start?
How about we start with Gino and Carlos?
Okay, let's start with Gino and Carlos.
I mean, I sort of. It feels like where we've reached this point with this, right? And we've seen this. I wrote about this today. My underlying theme being it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not let this charade type stuff go on all year. We have seen this before. We saw this last year.
Yes,
we saw the Cordy Glenn thing. What went better last year, Mo? No. Bear with me here. What went better last year, Cordy Glenn or Preston Brown? They moved on from Preston Brown midseason, and the defense seemed to stop making as many bad mistakes, and things seemed to kind of and it was that move was credited, by the way, for the defense getting itself together a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Cordy Glenn situation lingered. There was a suspension. There was all kinds of wondering what's going on. At some point, he played, and he had to be benched, and it was just this thing that hovered over unnecessarily that made you wonder what's made you question everybody.
Yeah.
Which one went better? When you know it's over, and with Carlos and Gino, I think we've reached that.
It's over.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. We don't need to hang on to trying to recreate 2015 again.
They're old players who aren't effective anymore.
That's fine.
It's over.
It's over. And they know, everyone knows that their contracts suggest that it's over. We know at the end of the year, I mean, it certainly looks like both of those guys, you know, Sean Williams is up. AJ Green is up. Like there's we've been talking about the Marvin vets the last couple of weeks, the leftovers and sort of the faction they are on this team. Everybody knows that move on is coming, and so why delay the inevitable just for there to be more circus, more look at me Instagram lives, more of complaining in the locker room, more of everyone else. I assume at least there's a few people bought in. There in the locker room. I think there is a pretty large portion of this team that still does care about winning here, still does think they can win here, has invested themselves in winning here in some way, shape, or form. And to have people who arguably aren't as much so, or at least expressing that opinion, still around and infecting that, it does no good. It hinders any chance you still have of pulling out of this rebuild abyss that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just say, look, are they going to be able to trade them? Probably not. I don't know who's trying to take on contracts like that. I don't know who's trying, who looks at that production is like, give me that.
Right.
Right? So when we've talked about the Bengals and trades before, fine. You feel like trade's not going to happen and it probably won't, then just cut them. Then just be like, you know what? It's sad that things have to end this way. No one wants it. But for the best of everyone, do you really need unproductive sub-package snaps from these guys at this point? You know what? Just trot out more checks, notes, Amani Bledsoe and Kareem. You know, well, that's where we're at. But, you know, at a certain point, like, just try something else because I don't know that there's good coming. Is that going to happen? No. I don't know. But it's what should happen.
I feel like for years, you and I have talked about this. We've been chasing this happy ending. At some point, you have to stop chasing a happy ending.
Yeah.
It didn't end happily with Andy Dalton. Last night's performance notwithstanding, everybody's okay. This franchise is fine. It's not going to end well with Gino and Carlos. It's not going to end with those two guys going out in a blaze of glory where they're leading the team to some sort of franchise-defining victory or legacy-sealing win. What's the point of continuing to do this with either of those guys? But along with that question, there's two others that I have. One is, between you and Jay Morrison, what was the discussion about who had to watch the Carlos Dunlap Instagram video? Which Jay described in his piece in The Athletic by writing, quote, "The video drew approximately 3,000 viewers and mostly featured Dunlap eating chips and shouting out acquaintances, including some teammates, as they appeared on screen with their comments."
Yeah, Bobby Hart showed up at one point.
Oh, that's cool.
It was probably the most entertaining. The reaction of everyone else to Bobby Hart weighing in was fairly entertaining. Mm-hmm. He took it on himself. God
okay.
bless his heart.
Very good.
I dropped in out of curiosity, and I had to drop out after a little bit. I was just like, I don't really understand what's even happening here, and I'm just gonna say goodbye. So that's pretty much all it was.
Okay, so then the other question for me, which is more important, is you can't go back in time and undo the contract extensions that you gave on the same day to Gino and Carlos. You can't go back in time and undo the decision to continue to make A.J. Green a part of this team. And A.J. played well on Sunday against Indianapolis. And at some point between now and 4 o'clock, you and I will actually talk about that game as much as I might not want to. But now moving forward, is there a lesson moving forward for this franchise in a league where it seems to me that the best and most well-run teams are not constantly clinging to revisiting the past, clinging to what happened 4 or 5 years prior? They're willing to move on before a player hits his expiration date, sometimes even while that player still has something left in the tank. I'm less interested in what they already did, and I'm more interested in what they're going to do moving forward with guys who are old and have no place being on the team and avoiding getting to a spot where you're having to do what they're doing right now with Carlos and Gino.
There is a danger whenever you move on from someone who you believe to be too old that you end up looking like the Bengals do with Andrew Whitworth. That is one in 20.
Yeah.
Right? At a certain point, you have to be willing to take those hits, and obviously they have, and they've been beaten up for as they should. You draft better and hope people don't talk about it as much. And fortunately, around here, it still lingers. You just got to stop investing in older guys, in 30-plus-year-olds. I mean, I've been talking about this for 2 years about how at one point, five of their top six cap hits were all guys 30-plus. No one has a team like that.
Right.
Especially not one that just hired a new coach that's trying to rebuild.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And so the idea of always hanging on and believing that you're going to get some return to prime from players and pay them accordingly in their 30s just never makes sense. It's happened far too often around here. And I will say the way they spent this past offseason, and it hasn't paid off mostly due to injury, was the right model.
Mm-hmm.
Invest in guys in their primes and overpay someone who's 25 as opposed to overpaying someone who's, if you're going to overpay in spots, everyone does at some position or some spot of need or wherever it hits you at some point. Let that be someone who's in the middle of their best years or their best years are yet to come, holding on to, and there's loyalty here. And I think some people treasure the loyalty, and it's obviously there is a significant amount of it that is to a fault. And that, I think you've seen that whittle itself down a little bit in recent years. It has to happen more. Like at a certain point, you've just got to have more. They have to do a better job of understanding how to properly value their players, not have this nostalgic commitment and sentiment that you feel like you owe them more. And that, I think, plays into a number of different areas, and it's biting them right now.
You mentioned Andrew Whitworth, and I remember at the time talking about, not at the time, but when it was abundantly clear that Andrew still had plenty left in the tank with the L.A. Rams that first season, and I said, okay, the Bengals, they whiffed here. They made a mistake. They made a calculated mistake here. Andrew Whitworth is defying the odds. He is still a very productive player in his mid-30s. I hope this mistake, if that's how you want to put it, I hope this mistake is in a vacuum. Let's not let this affect other decisions. You said something that I think is important, because it's easy right now. It's easy right now to go, well, Geno shouldn't be here. Carlos shouldn't be here. They should have moved on from A.J. Green. It also, you could have applied the same logic in March of 2016 or 2017 to Andrew Whitworth. He's in his mid-30s. He's not going to continue to be the kind of player he has been. He's certainly not going to get any better. He has defied the odds. Bengals played the odds there. To me, you can't do it both ways. You can't continue to criticize them for just letting Whitworth get away. You can criticize them for...
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Failing to replace him, you could criticize them for the Obwehi decision, Jake Fisher, all the different ways they've tried to replace Andrew Whitworth and make the offensive line what it was in 2015. But I am willing to let players thrive elsewhere if it means there's not a blanket policy, but if it means that there is a pretty much a refusal to sign guys who are no longer productive to huge deals that reverberate for years. I'm willing to let a player get away and be good somewhere else. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, so am I, but you're not with Andrew Whitworth.
Yes, right, exactly. I think you have to realize that sometimes it will end up like that, and you just come to terms with it, because most of the time it won't. And the problem is, you know, you compound things when you have the two problems that have created this mess. And we haven't even gotten into the coaching staff yet, and I'm sure we will. But there's two problems that compound this mess. It is, if you're going to have those issues and you're going to do that, well, your first round picks better be good. The guys you draft to eventually replace them better be good. You certainly can't have both, or that's how you end up in this stretch that they're in, where you pay the wrong guys. Your top cap hits are all not giving you much. I mean, your top 5 to 10 cap hits in this team are giving them very little.
Right.
There's a few exceptions, obviously, but they're giving you very little. And your first round picks in recent years are giving you very little. That combination is debilitating in every way, shape, and form, no matter who's running the show, no matter who, whatever. Like, those two things together are what put you in this situation. And there's other factors to not making the best out of that situation, but that is the absolute core of this. You know, and that goes back to ownership in the front office and everything, obviously.
It is 16 minutes after 4 o'clock. Paul Daner Jr. is on Twitter, at Paul Daner Jr. He covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Among the other people we have to talk about today, John Ross, Al Golden. We're going to spend time today talking about Al Golden. Really didn't wake up this morning thinking we'd be doing that, but we're going to talk about Al Golden. More on Zach Taylor and the current locker room dynamic, and we'll revisit Sunday's game against the Colts as much as I really don't want to. A lot to get to between now and 4 o'clock. I am here till 6, so a lot to get to between now and then. It's 17 after 3. I'm Mo Egger. Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic is here. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. 2 after 3. This is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger. Paul Daner Jr. is here from The Athletic. I was joking with you off air about all the stuff I have to ask you about. But, like, there's no natural place to start. Do you think Zach Taylor, you alluded to a lot of guys on this team, the majority still invested in what they're doing, winning and all that stuff. And I think a lot of folks have watched what's happening and they go, okay, well, he's losing the team. He's losing the locker room. He's losing the roster. I'm less interested in whether that's happening now. And I'm more concerned about the climate that he is going to be dealing with and that we're going to be talking about if the Bengals lose to Cleveland, Tennessee, and then after the bye, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And instead of 1-4-1, we are talking about 1-7-1. I know in the second half of the season, they have the rest of the NFC East, which the Bengals should be, and I put it on Twitter last night, they should be Dallas, Washington, and the Giants, but, you know, who knows. The Miami Dolphins now will have Tua Tagovailoa. They've turned things over to him at quarterback, and so that's a winnable game. Houston's a winnable game. There are winnable games, but for a thing for a program that already seems to be kind of unraveling a little bit, I wonder about the death spiral we will be talking about if, and it's a big if, although you can't convince me they're going to beat the Titans or Steelers. No. A big if this team is sitting there at 1-7-1.
I you know I despise must win game concept.
Yeah.
I cannot stand the idea of it. But you wonder for this staff, as it's currently constituted, if Cleveland is not that. I mean,
how is it not?
Yeah, I mean, because you're talking about there, I mean, to think that you're going to go beat Tennessee or Pittsburgh right now, I mean, there's no team in this league that Chiefs, including the Chiefs, that you feel confident they could go through that. Mm-hmm. And no, definitely feel like they can win one. Those teams are very good. And we know the history in Pittsburgh. So you're talking about that. You're talking about bye weeks involved where there's always the opportunity to see potential change, whatever. I mean, at some point, you have to have a win. You have to have wins to prove what you're doing. It has legs. It has traction. It is not just talk. They have, it's sort of what I wrote coming out of Sunday. You know, this close, 21-0, Joe Burrow looking good, A.J. Green, T. Higgins, Jesse Bates, progress, all of these things that you can hear about and you can spin in a vacuum are great. And in a vacuum, you could sell those. And there's even stuff to believe in there. But when it's been so repetitive over the course of selling this close and talking about where you're until if you're now at the point where if you're not turning in wins, I don't think anybody can buy it anymore.
Correct.
Even the most patient organization in professional sports mm-hmm. is going to have a hard time buying. And it's the only ammo they have left because progress, people can see Joe Burrow's good.
Yes.
People can see he's good. I think you can see the progress is going to come. It's coming. That's great. And this staff deserves credit for some of that. Sure, yeah, certainly.
Absolutely.
And I think people can see some of the good things that happen, but there's no way to sell to anybody if you can't it's the only thing that you have to do. It is the only option that because you can't sell this close. You can't sell played well but lost. You can't sell any of that anymore. You're out of those. Mm-hmm. You have no more cards left with this close written on them that work. So, you know, Sunday you got to find a way to beat the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all there is to it. Else you find yourself in a situation where there's going to be a lot of questions and answers that I don't think anybody wants to have or have to answer.
I read a tweet from Elise Jesse, who used to work for Channel 5, that she is hearing that Al Golden, who you might remember as the coach at Temple, the coach at Miami, he is the linebackers coach of this team. I remember him because when he was the head coach in college, he dressed like he was a manager at Ruby Tuesdays. he is on the staff as a linebackers coach. There's probably casual fans who didn't know that. He is now going to take over the calling the plays on third down.
Yeah. First of all, Elise is very well connected.
She's very plugged in.
And this
yeah.
is, I mean, she everything she says is incredibly credible. She does a great job. Yeah, I mean, if you go back to Paul Gunther under Mike Zimmer, and even when he was a linebackers coach, yeah. Mike Zimmer, who one of the best defensive coaches of our generation
Paul
right now.
Paul was in charge of the blitz package.
Blitz packages, a lot of third down stuff, right. Pass rush. You know, that's the type of stuff that Elise is referring to here. They're talking about with Al Golden. And it's, I think you see, I don't know specifically the dynamic. I don't know exactly how long it's been going on, what that entails. You know, we'll have to find out more. But you know, that's not totally uncommon. It's certainly nothing that we haven't even seen here before.
Sure.
For there to be people who specialize in that on your staff. Now, as far as calling of plays, again, that gets into the specifics of it that I don't know specifically. So but that type of thing can happen necessarily, and it not be in direct indictment. It can be.
Mm-hmm. The trade deadline is 2 weeks from today. We discussed AJ Green last week. You and I have talked about Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. Today, the name John Ross has come up, where the report was this morning that he had asked for a deal. I'll be completely honest with you. Nothing against John Ross at all. I'm excited for him to not be here anymore, because he is the New York Knicks of NFL players. Where the time that we spend talking about him is not proportionate to his relevance. That's coming from a diehard Knicks fan, by the way. The time we spend on John Ross is not proportionate to his relevance to the team. He dressed on Sunday. I didn't remember him being in the game.
He had one snap.
One snap. He's not relevant to what they're doing. They're making that abundantly clear. Why not flip him for something?
There has to be something to flip for. I mean, it's fine to request a trade.
Yeah.
Someone has to be willing to trade for you.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has the same tape. Like, I don't, you know, at least with John, in comparison to some of the others, there is a hope there. There is a, hey, maybe there's some untapped.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Speed,
former
right?
Former first rounder, ninth overall pick.
4-2-2.
Yeah.
Right? And all of that stuff. And misused.
Find a right fit for him.
Misused, lack of confidence, all of that stuff. By the way, two staffs.
Change of scenery. Yeah. That's the thing for me. This is two staffs, multiple coordinators, multiple position coaches, multiple dynamics here.
Yes.
This is John Ross. Yes. This is on John Ross.
Yes.
I wasn't willing to say that 2 years ago. I'm willing to say it now.
John Ross had started the first. They were giving John Ross snaps the first two games.
Yeah,
and it went poorly. You don't know how long your opportunities are going to be in this league, especially when a team does continue to give you them when healthy. The last couple of years, mm-hmm. when healthy, John Ross has been out there, and we haven't seen much. There was the two game stretch to open last year. That's what we have on John Ross's 4 years right now, is a 1-2-game stretch where he made some big plays for you.
I will hear people, most notably somebody who used to work in the room across from me, who said, well, we're getting on the show in the 5 o'clock hour, because when John Ross is in the news, you got to call James.
Yep.
He's not the only person who I've seen write this or hear say this, but he's got to find the right situation. The right situation is on the U.S. Olympic track team. That's the right situation. This is not about situation.
Yeah,
it's right. I mean, correct me if this is
there
not
is
about
there is more there situation. Is more to playing football than running fast. Yeah. And I would say, certainly, there's more to playing receiver than running fast. Catching it, big part.
Mm-hmm.
Catching the ball, big part of it. Running the right routes, understanding the route concepts all the time. Big part of it.
So T. Higgins, you know, we always said, well, John Ross can take the top off of defense. I watched T. Higgins do it on Sunday. I'm good. I got my take the top off of defense guy.
You have to have that threat, and you have the guy who can execute it.
All right.
Looked
I literally, at the game, when T. Higgins caught that pass, I said, cool, now we don't need John Ross.
Yes. running 4-2 is great. Playing fast is a different thing. And that has it just, you know, it hasn't always added up there. I don't know how much more you need to see. If some team feels like, well, let's just take a fast guy and see what we can do with it, and is willing to give up anything, I'm pretty positive the Bengals will say yes. I just don't know that there's any, and maybe there is. Maybe there's some team that looks at it and says, I'm telling you, we can make it happen,
mm-hmm.
and we need it. We need that. And if there is, then good. I don't see the Bengals turning down an offer because it's not good enough.
It's 28 minutes away from 4 o'clock. Something else I didn't think I would be doing until Sunday at about 3:45 was launching into a segment by bringing up the name Samaje Perine. But we'll do that when we come back. He's Paul Danner Jr. He's here till 4, you and I till 6. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
We continue with Paul Danner Jr. and Mo Egger in studio talking all things Bengals and general NFL topics on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
23 away from 4. Don't forget, Game 1 of the World Series airs on ESPN 1530 tonight at 8 o'clock. Rays, Dodgers. Game 1 this evening. First pitch right around 8:30 live on ESPN 1530. Paul Danner Jr. from The Athletic is here until 4. Covers the Bengals, theathletic.com. You can read them. So 3rd-and-1, game hanging in the balance. They're down by a point. You got all these weapons. The go-to guy is Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Don't
defend it.
I can't
defend that.
I'm not. I just
screaming at you now.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
my level of frustration.
I'm not. I haven't even said anything yet. This the floor wasn't quite mine.
I just pulled it out from underneath you.
I'll say I don't necessarily have as big of a problem with it as everyone else. And I mean, I'm not here to. I'm not defending it. I'm not defending it. Okay.
I understand.
I do think it's like it's sort of like running a QB sneak there. Mm-hmm. It's like, can you get a little bit with like this at least a surprise factor of shoving it in there? That said, there's so many other options. An actual QB sneak. Joe Mixon's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to throw it, I'm in favor of hammering it twice. You know, give it to number 28 a couple times and see what happens.
Correct.
There's nothing to like about it. I mean,
no.
I get that he's the fullback in that spot. Okay, so if you're gonna run a fullback dive, it's gonna go to somebody who probably hasn't touched the ball much. He's a former running back, so you don't think he's totally inept. But those plays just you're also running like where you're running right behind Bobby Hart and Alex Redmond. I mean, so it's. So to recap, it's Samaje Perine behind Alex Redmond and Bobby Hart in a massive spot. Yeah, I mean it's not what you die. It's
if
not
Samaje
what you want.
Samaje Perine's going to be the guy in third down. Then Randy Bullock can't be the guy in fourth down.
Correct.
I know he made a 55-yard field goal earlier in the game, and he's been a fine, reliable kicker. But if I'm going 3rd-and-1, Samaje Perine, then 4th-and-1, I'm not trotting out the field goal unit.
Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, Bullock has made a bunt. I mean, he hadn't missed. He hadn't missed since the game against the Chargers. But it's 48, and it does give you the lead. You know, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to it there. But I agree with you. I think if that's the move, you're going to just slam it in there twice and try to play aggressive. I mean, you get killed for it if you don't. Get it, but you know that's the game. I mean, that's part of the deal.
In terms of the dynamic of the coaching staff, Zach Taylor is it feels like the walls are closing in on him, and you get some folks that go, "Look, it's too early to judge him. You got to give him a chance. Got to give him a chance to have all his own guys. All fine, whatever." But him coming back to be the head coach in 2021 doesn't mean he has to come back and be the head coach and have all the responsibilities that he has right now. Could you see a scenario in which Zach is the head coach in 21, but this team has a different play caller who's not already working for this organization?
I don't. I mean, I think.
Can I yell at you some more now?
Because... Yeah. I mean. Anything is possible, but I feel like so much of why you hired Zach Taylor is because you think he is going to be a very good offensive coach and develop and Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that look, you can't do it any
better if that's what you cared about, was having, you know, as far as hire some young quarterback guru type, right, is what you're trying to do. You're trying to follow that model. And then get a number one overall pick and let them work together and build something. That's the idea. Now, whether that's working or not, we can talk about. But I'm saying that the concept is there. So the idea that you would then take the legs out from underneath them of the person who is working directly with said quarterback, I don't understand that. Like, just if that's what you're doing, then I just think you blow the whole thing up. I mean, I think you just move on completely before you take that part away. It's the last thing I would take away. Partially, you know, I do think you see a Joe Burrow playing well. I mean, I think it's the reason you have any hope. Jay and I played Give Me Hope today. Mm-hmm. You know, just something, right? Let's try to find where the hope lies. You got to start with the way Joe Burrow's playing and what he can do for you, especially a guy that you think should take a big jump in year two, as most quarterbacks do. You know, it's like somebody tweeted this to me. Could the Bengals, the 2020 Bengals, be the 2019 Cardinals as you watched Monday Night Football last night? They had the first round pick last mm-hmm. year. They went 5-10-1. They seemed to figure some things out late in the year. You see Kyler Murray take another step.
Yeah.
You got the young offensive head coach. Could that? I don't know. But I mean, if you're building hope, your hope lies in Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to start there. So for whatever's best for him, and I don't think what will be best for him would be chopping that connection out immediately, unless you were blowing the whole thing up.
Right.
I wouldn't do that specifically and then still have, you know, Zach Taylor here as the guy and everything else.
So the part here that I have written down to ask you if the Bengals would hire Hugh Jackson to be the offensive coordinator, just don't go down that road.
I don't think
you
we should go
down. You don't want to spend a few minutes
if
on
you,
that?
If you're going to hire Hugh Jackson.
Can somebody give him a job so he stops doing podcasts and radio shows and saying, I mean, just somebody hire him to coach something? Maybe not here.
Yeah.
But so don't go down that road.
I mean, I don't. What are we going down the Hugh Jackson
road?
Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't put Hugh Jackson in as Zach Taylor's offensive coordinator. I don't see – something says I don't see that relationship working.
No, I don't – I guess – okay, cross that off. Do you want to talk about Andy Dalton on Monday Night Football last night, speaking of that game against the Cardinals?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
People were putting that on Andy. Dallas is awful.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott can't hang on to the football. Their defense is atrocious. Joe Burrow should have his way with that team on December the 13th. And the game kind of got out of hand relatively early. So, I mean, Andy Dalton's not the guy who's going to bring you back from down 28-3. So, I felt bad for Andy, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's easy narratives to play into, though, right? I mean, and it's fair. I mean...
Yeah, he stinks in prime time.
Stinks in prime time.
I get it. He played like a backup quarterback last night. He is a backup quarterback.
It's fact.
Okay, all right. I crossed those two things off.
Okay, good.
It's 4:15. I'm Mo Egger. He's Paul Daner Jr. A lot more on the Bengals still ahead on ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station. Well, Paul Daner Jr. just convinced me the Bengals are going to win on Sunday. So. Congratulations on doing that.
I didn't mean to.
I know you talked about this in detail on the podcast. Hear that podcast growling with Jay Morrison. Last 11 teams to blow a 21-zip lead have won the following week.
Yeah, Jay, that's our Jay. Jay's got stats.
Well, wow.
Jay had two mind-blowing stats. Like he often doesn't tell me before he has these because I'm always blown away with what he'll track down. But, yeah, he had the stat of teams are – 95-1 the last times they've had 21-point first half leads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bengals went out of one. It was 93-0 coming into this past weekend. I mean, it's just brutal. But the last 11 teams that had a 21-point first half lead and blew it all won the next week. 11-0. How about that?
Bengals on Sunday at home, dogs getting 3.5 points. The Browns were just absolutely pounded by the Steelers on Sunday. Might be Case Keenum playing quarterback for them. They're not very good.
Probably overconfident because they beat the Bengals up pretty good at home in week two.
Storm to a win in the Battle of Ohio.
Yeah, storm. Yeah, I mean, you certainly can see it.
Yeah, I'm convinced.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be convincing, but that's what it is.
So all of this stuff is circling around this team. And we're all smitten with Joe Burrow, and understandably so. And you know, you were talking about looking for reasons to be hopeful. Look no further than number nine. I think it would be interesting to be inside his head as he's taking mental notes of what's going on with this team, from its inability to win to what some of the veteran players are doing to what some guys are tweeting to what people are, saying and writing about the team. We go back to the winter when folks were making up the, well, you know, Burrow, why would he want to come to Cincinnati? Why would he want to play there? And I thought people embarrassed themselves in talking about that. But to me, this is a relevant conversation. Not whether or not he would want to come to Cincinnati as the number one overall pick, but are there going to be forces that drive him from Cincinnati? Now, this assumes a couple of things, that he is going to be in a position where he can hit free agency and have the rest of the NFL trying to sign him, right? That he's that good of a player. But there is a part of me that wonders, what kind of mental notes is he taking about the environment that surrounds him? And what might those notes mean for his willingness to eventually sign a second contract? I know it's way early to be talking about that. It goes without saying. But all this stuff eventually does add up. And we have seen players, including a quarterback, who got to a point where the dysfunction became too much for them to want to be a part of. Joe Burrow has to be looking at this situation, taking stock of what's going on, and I wonder how that could impact things down the road.
And mind you, he has never experienced anything remotely like this. In fact, he's only experienced the exact opposite. Places where winning is all that happens there. Winning is beyond the expectation. It's just the everyday standard that continually happens. Ohio State, LSU. Heck, even what he did at Athens High School. Now, I don't know if winning was the standard before Joe Burrow at Athens. Having seen some of that after going to know you, I know that it wasn't. But the point being, though, he's only been around the exact opposite of this. And to it finding a way to win here and winning a championship or, heck, making the Super Bowl here, I will say would be the greatest accomplishment of his career. And I saw every bit of 15-0 last year with LSU. Mm-hmm. Because you're asked to do so much more and take a place somewhere it's never been or mentally has a concept of right now. And that's – but you have to be thinking, how big of a challenge is this? Is it insurmountable? That has to be going through your head when you see what is happening around you. Absolutely. I would love to know what's going on. I don't think we do. I think Joe Burrow is overly confident and probably believes he can do it.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What does that guy think about all this?
Yes. Yeah, and he's not going to tell you, nor should he tell you, but that, whether or not Zach Taylor is here next year, whether or not Lou Anarumo is coaching the defense, whether or not Al Golden insists on wearing a tie in the sideline when he's calling these third down packages that we're so excited about, none of that stuff really matters that much. What does matter is what Joe Burrow makes of the chaos that seems to be enveloping this franchise yet again, that he had to have be warned about. I mean, all that conversation was based on the Bengals being this picture of, at times, dysfunction and chaos. And granted, there have been many times where I've kind of defended it going, look, I know dysfunction. I watch it with the Jets. I watch it with the Browns. I've seen it in Oakland and places like that. This has been a franchise that at times has been credited, and understandably so, for being really well run. At the same time, it does feel like over the last couple of years, going back to since before Zach Taylor, like, locker room culture, what's happening with veteran players, players being pissed off, other issues sort of bubbling to the surface when the losing snowballs. That's been a part of this franchise for a little while now. I'm sure Joe Burrow knows that. The fact that it's happening in front of him that's not encouraging.
You have to have, you know, the young core, with Joe Burrow leading the way of that, be the ones to set the record straight, to be the ones to, you know, for lack of a better term, fight anybody that wants to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Joe Burrow, and it's, you know, all these young guys, whether it's Jesse Bates and Sam Hubbard and all these guys that are part of the new, that you have to have that. That has to be what, you know, Von, but these guys you brought in that are leaders, Von Bell, DJ Reader, and we hear so much about the type of leaders that Josh Bynes, the type of leaders they will be
and can be and take ownership of it. You have to have that in some capacity. If it continues to feel disjointed, then you have no hope. And I don't know what that means for anybody going forward, but you know, it feels like that's the thing that's missing right now, and it goes back to where we started this conversation. Just clear it out. Give those guys the chance to be those guys at the very least. What else do you got to lose except more games?
Yes. Just go win a damn game.
Yeah, win a game.
Go win a damn game on Sunday. That's where I am right now. And you've convinced me they will. So I appreciate you doing that. You've
certainly not my objective. I really thought that's the last thing that would come out of this hour.
I feel rejuvenated. You've revived my passion for this game on Sunday.
We just sat here and went through one of the most, like, negative 45 minutes, and I came out of it convincing you something good was
going to
happen.
Yeah, they're going to win on Sunday, and then there's going to be a lot of, see, he's not Dave Shula, Mo. So I'm excited. I'm excited, and now thank you for – that's why I brought you here.
I'm glad.
Inject some enthusiasm and optimism into the proceedings.
Did not anticipate that's where this would end.
Yeah, just don't give the ball to Samaje Perine. The game hanging in the balance. Look at your roster. Look at whatever the thing that Zach Taylor's holding during the game. Look at that. Pick anybody but him. Literally anybody but him, and I'll be happy.
I would have enjoyed Drew Sample being involved just for you on that play. I would have enjoyed that.
There was a 2nd and 10 run during that game. There were a couple of them, actually.
There were a couple.
A couple of them. Would you like to have – there was a situation in the game last night where Andy Dalton, trailing by 25 points, handed off on 2nd and 15. As somebody who last night was rooting for Andy to win a football game in prime time, even then I lost my mind. All right, Paul, thanks so much. You can read him in The Athletic. Hear that podcast. Growlin' is the podcast he does with Jay Morrison. And make sure you're following him on Twitter, at Paul Daner Jr. A couple minutes away from 4 o'clock, still ahead, a lot more on the Bengals. We have to react to the news of Nick Kroll being the new president of baseball operations for the Reds. Nick will be on our show next week. We're excited for that. That'll be on Tuesday of next week. So something to look forward to. Paul here and Nick Kroll on the phone. That'll be fun. And Luke Fickell from earlier today, his football team is getting set to go to Dallas to take on SMU. You'll hear the best of today's press conference with the UC head coach coming up at 4:45. On ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.